Welcome to Moxie Bets, presented by Caesars Sportsbook. I'm your host, Katie Mox. Coming up on today's show, the Super Bowl is set. It's the Eagles taking on the Chiefs. We'll look at some early odds and leans for the big game. We'll also take a look at some NBA games for tonight, give you our best bets there, and you know it. You've got some Mox Locks coming your way. Before we get started, let's welcome in Mr. Monday, Danny Brasco. Danny, how you doing?
Fantastic. Made a ton of money this weekend in the conference championship round. Wild nightcap with the Chiefs and Bengals. Very controversial game. And we've got a hell of a Super Bowl on our hands. So I'm excited to talk about it with you. But very, very profitable conference round. So I'm a happy man.
That's great. I am not doing so hot today, obviously, because I am a 49ers fan. But that's going to get us into Mox thoughts. So the Eagles are moving on to the Super Bowl. They defeat the Niners 31-7. You know, one, hats off to the Eagles. I will never say that they don't deserve to be in the Super Bowl or that they didn't have a hell of a season. And I think their record speaks for themselves, and their style of play and the way they've been able to beat teams speak for themselves. I don't put a lot of weight into, oh, they didn't see anyone good this season. The Eagles deserve to be there. They're certainly one of the best teams in football. This game in particular, you know, it's a tough pill to swallow, certainly for 49ers fans and bettors alike, because the circumstances of it were just unfortunate. You know, you got Brock Purdy injuring his elbow in the first drive of the game. He was 2 for 2 for 19 yards, and then he gets injured. And at that point, the game was just, you know, you were holding your breath as a Niners fan and better. You knew we had a good defense that could keep us in there. Josh Johnson sucked, you know? I mean, but what did we expect from him? Yes, he's been in the league for 10 years, but he'd never been in a playoff game, let alone a conference championship game against an Eagles team with a front like that. So at that point, it was a little bit scary. And then, you know, Christian McCaffrey put the entire offense on his back and was able to run one in. And there were a couple throws there that were decent. As soon as that fumble happened, it was like game over. And then, of course, he gets a concussion, which, like, when does this happen to teams? Were they on their fifth quarterback at this point in a conference championship game? Then as soon as Purdy went back out there, you knew he couldn't throw the ball. We saw him on the sideline. He wasn't able to do anything longer than maybe 5 or 10 yards, just some shovel passes. And what do the Eagles do? They put six guys up front. They stack the box. There's nowhere for the Niners to go. And at that point, the offense is inept, right? There's nothing that the Niners can do at that point. And the defense, they held on so good, you know, in that first half. And there were some unlucky breaks from refereeing, and we'll get into that in a second. But there was also a lot of undisciplined things that happened. And that happens when all of the pressure is on the defense. And when you have an inept offense and all the pressure is on the defense, they're going to get jumpy, they're going to make mistakes, and they're also gassed. So it was just a completely lopsided game from the first drive. And at that point, you know, the Eagles played a good game, but they also had an incredible advantage when it comes to just, you know, having a quarterback. So it's a tough way to lose. And I think that, you know, look, the Niners lost a Super Bowl in 2011 and that sucked, but we got outplayed. You know, you can't go down that many points in the first half and expect to come back. And they made it thrilling, but we got outplayed. And in the 2019 season, when the Niners lost in the Super Bowl, we made some mistakes, and we, you know, that's why we lost. And when you look at the NFC Championship game, it's like, you know, we again made some mistakes, didn't get some things to go through. You could take it when you lose a game and you know that your team put their best foot out forward, and whether it's mistakes or gameplay or just being outplayed happens, but it hurts a lot more when the circumstances decided the game. So that's how I'm feeling about that. But what did you think of this game?
Katie, I feel for you. And I understand you want to at least go out swinging, right? Trent Williams certainly did, but you want to, you know, at least have a puncher's chance. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You want to have a puncher's chance. And yeah, like, you took Brock Purdy's arm away. Josh Johnson bangs his head on the ground. You have nobody that can throw the ball. And like you said, they put 10 guys up front. They play cover zero the rest of the game. And for a whole half, you just got to run the ball down three scores. It's impossible. So it just sucked to see them go out like that without even a chance to try to come back, right? Much to your dismay, I will say, when the quarterbacks got injured, I was jumping for joy because I had a huge bet on the under in this game. And that very much contributed to the under. We talk about refereeing, you alluded to John Hussey, one of my favorite under referees, barely calls any penalties. And oftentimes it benefits the defense on the non-call on the roughing or the non-pass interference call. So John Hussey, another
under. He had a hell of a lot of calls yesterday.
Yeah. He did. He was making calls, a lot of which, again, contributed back to the under, whether bringing a play back or. So I do love an under in a John Hussey refereed game. But, of course, quarterbacks going down help that. The rush-heavy attack, like you said, the defense for the Niners, is even giving up 31, they played well. You just can't be asked to get a million stops in a row. It's not possible. So they did their best. And, you know, I'll come back hat in hand as someone that did say early on in the season the Eagles had a cakewalk of a schedule and maybe they were imposters. Now they're in the Super Bowl. So, hey, you know, I got to eat my words on that front. So I'll say that much.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, the strength of schedule, it's every game is hard to win in the NFL. You know what I mean? There's no real, to your, you know, unfortunately to what you just said, there's no cakewalk in the NFL, but certainly strength of schedule is going to be easier or harder for some people. But I do think that this Eagles team is legit, and they have a real opportunity to win a Super Bowl. You know, I don't think that it's a complete mismatch with the Chiefs and the Eagles here, but the last game in particular, I just beg of people to be rational in Philadelphia with how that game went down and how it contributed to the win. That's all I ask for, but I know that that's asking too much, certainly on Twitter and those places. But let's move on to the next game. The Chiefs also going to the Super Bowl for the third time in 4 years. 23-20, and this was a very interesting game. It seemed like the Chiefs had a chokehold on Joe Burrow and the Bengals in the first half of the game. And then, of course, the Bengals being the Bengals were coming back, made this really, really close. It wasn't a questionable call. It was a push out of bounds. Now, I personally, and this is just my personal opinion. Yeah, he was 5 yards out of bounds. Okay, he was five yards out of bounds. So at that point, it's a penalty. Do I think that pushing someone out of bounds is unnecessary roughness? No, I don't. I mean, it depends on the level of the push. But I think those calls in general are a little ridiculous.
They can be a little ticky-tack here and there. Of course, the spirit is we're protecting the quarterback. Quarterbacks have every benefit of the doubt and every rule in favor of them. So when you put one toe on that white line, if there's a little tap, tap, tap-a-roo, Mahomes flailed to the LeBron, you know, head snap back. God. And I was like, he sold that perfect. That 15 yards put him in money territory and Butker nails it. Game over. So that's one call. But like that is harder to debate. Like that gets called every week in the NFL, right? I mean, some of the other ones from the Chiefs and favorites bettors, favorite NFL referee, Ron Torbert, again, big refereeing angle, who now is 44-9 in December or later to favorites when he referees and the Chiefs closed as the favorite. So he's massively going towards favorites. And now the
home
Chiefs
crowd.
Are 3-0.
He's swayed by the Oh, not maybe, even home crowd, I guess, because the Chiefs weren't favorites. Yeah.
They closed as favorites. But yeah, now he's 3-0 on the money line and against the spread in Chiefs, Mahomes, you know, and Ron Torbert refereed games. There's a picture online of them exchanging jerseys after like a ceremonial jersey exchange. And the caption is game recognized game. Like a lot of people are saying on so many occasions, what is Torbert and his crew doing? I mean, the fifth down that they essentially gave the Chiefs on that call, they blew the play dead.
That?
Then they give him a holding call. It just seemed like it was a gift for them. And at that point, the script felt like it was written for them, that the NFL just wanted to see Mahomes in the Super Bowl. And of course, the public dog, Burrow and the Bengals, once again, Vegas had to get their money back on that one. I'm glad I was on the side of the fix, if you do think there was one.
Well, but here, let's talk about that, because on, you know, trending on Twitter last night was that the NFL is rigged. And, you know, it's an emotional game, right? The fans, when you get to conference championship weekend, they're emotional. Everyone's, you know, a little bit tipsy at this point. And, you know, just bettors put a lot of money on these games too. And so the narrative that the NFL is rigged or the fix is in was just everywhere last night. Now, I am not someone that believes that the league is fixed. I believe that refereeing is hard, okay? And what we see on television isn't always what they see when they're this close. Now, they miss some obvious calls. They sway the game. I mean, even in the 49ers and Eagles game, that Devonta Smith catch wasn't a catch. And they had the ability and they should have been able to review that right away. And they didn't do it. Now, of course, we can blame Kyle Shanahan not challenging it, but the NFL should have anyways. And there was that. And then, yes, the fifth down, like there were so many things that happened where people are like, oh, the NFL is rigged. One, do you think that's true? And two, do you handicap officiating into, you got to bake that into your bets a little bit, right? I mean, if we're talking sports betting, you can't think that the refs are going to call a completely clean game if there isn't going to be anything that comes back. And by the way, you also, you know, people that are crying to the sports books too about wanting refunds, that is, the risk that you take when you throw money on a game is that the quarterback could be injured on the first drive and then they're SOL. That is a risk that you take. Anyways, it's, I digress.
It's absolutely true. I will say in terms of, do I think the game is rigged? Like, not in the sense that a lot, you'll hear people complain about it online when their player prop misses by a yard or their last leg of their parlay loses by the hook. Oh my God. No, that's just like unfortunate, or like maybe it was a bad bet and you're thinking about it wrong, or, you know, that's no one cares about your $8 on your rushing yards over. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's a business. Like, business decisions are made. It's hard not to believe that there's some level of influence. I'm not saying that there's a red phone that rings and Ron Torbert picks it up and he says, okay, next call for the Chiefs. No problem, boss, I got it. But like, I'd be surprised if there weren't conversations about, you know, what's best for the NFL. I don't know if there's a secret room where it goes down to say, hey, make it go this way. But like, there are things that happen in sports that are best for the business. You know what I mean?
But why would the Chiefs be better than the Bengals? I feel like the Bengals are a huge public darling.
For sure. Well, we can look about it in terms of the sports books. I said there's no way that Burrow's going to get Mahomes for a fourth time and a second time in a row as a massive public underdog after they beat the Bills. They cleaned out the books on that one. I said to myself, no way they get him twice in a row. So that was my angle on that. I don't know if you want to think about it as fixed. I can't tell you. You know, again, the red phone, it's not like the red phone is ringing, but the same way that I talk about in the UFC, how fighters are set up to win and matchmaking, just want, you know, it's better off.
Well, the UFC, I think, is different than the NFL, though, because those are they pick the matchups. It's not that the matchups, you know, happen based on
wins. Of course, and it's a different comp, but to that extent, my point, I guess, is they're doing their best they can to help pick the matchup they want. I think the best matchup they could get with influence, perhaps, is Chiefs-Eagles. This is the best Super Bowl we could have asked for, I think.
I think in terms of like numbers and money, the 49ers getting to the Super Bowl, because they are such a huge public fan base, because we were a dynasty back in the 80s and 90s, that would have made more money, you know? So,
Next to New York, I believe Philly's the biggest public sports betting market.
Yeah. But I know the San Francisco 49ers were one of the biggest liabilities for the book, but you can't script a quarterback, you know, injuring their elbow there. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely interesting, but I also think there's so much money and emotions that go into it that anytime something goes wrong, people love to say that it's rigged and that it's fixed. And yes, I think that everybody tries to do what's best for the business. But I don't know. I'm a purist, though. I don't like to think that anything is rigged, or, you know, it's not the way that my heart operates. But let's talk about the Super Bowl now. Okay. I feel like we've discussed the championship weekend. So this is the first time in Super Bowl history the two brothers will compete against each other, Chiefs tight end Travis Kelce and Eagles center Jason Kelce. I believe the last Brother Bowl was the Har Bowl between John Harbaugh and why am I blanking on the 49ers?
And Harbaugh.
Jim Harbaugh. Yes, Jim Harbaugh. and they called it the Har Bowl, which was, I can't believe I forgot Jim Harbaugh. Yes, both Harbaugh. I think that was the last Brother Bowl, but this is the first time that two brothers will actually play against each other as players. So right now it's interesting because the odds opened up basically as a pick 'em, but within an hour, the Eagles shot up to 2-point favorites over the Chiefs. I think this has a lot to do with Patrick Mahomes' injury. I will say that underdogs have had their day in recent Super Bowls, going 8-7 straight up, 10-5 against the spread in the last 15 Super Bowls. The under has also been a cash cow as well, for in the last four recent Super Bowls. So right now, It's a 2-point spread. Eagles are the favorite, 49.5 over under. What are your early leans, or what do you feel about this spread and this total as it stands this morning?
Me being on the show this month, normally I love being on the show on Mondays, Monday Night Football. I can't wait. I'm like raring to go. Me being on this show, I barely had a chance to digest all the insanity and from last night. And I'm immediately asked to react to this and give an analysis and a pick.
A lean.
I know. Well, I'll tell you this much.
We're 2 weeks out, Danny. No one's going to come back to this episode and be like, Danny, the Monday after you said this, like, don't worry, Danny, we will ask you again.
I will. I track my own record. But I will say right away, and I did this for the Niners-Eagles game, and I cashed it big. I'm going to do it for the Super Bowl, too. You just mentioned unders have been a cash cow. Let's jump at this number right now, 49.5. 49, very key number. Think about 7 touchdowns, right? 7 times 7, 49. So I like getting that hook there. And I did the same thing for the Eagles-Niners game. It was 45.5, 45, also a very key number when betting game totals. Ended up closing 46.5, go up to 46.5. Went back down to 45.5. I feel like we could see similar movement with this total. So I'll jump at it now. If it goes up, I'll bet the under again. But I like unders in Super Bowls when the average Joe bettor is looking for offense and a good old time, right? And I'm looking for money and profit. So I'll take the under.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is an early lean. Obviously, over the next 2 weeks, we're going to have multiple shows dedicated to the Super Bowl. So you'll get, you know, our sharp analysis then. But as far as early leans, I like the Chiefs money line on this one. So many people were on the Bengals in the last game and every, you know, calling it and by the way, thoughts and prayers to the mayor of Cincinnati. Okay. I was watching that game last night and I was like, this man must be sweating bullets because you went out and you did a whole press conference talking about how it's Burrowwood and asking for a paternity test to see if Joe Burrow is Patrick Mahomes' daddy. Now we did see that Travis Kelce came out and you know gave the Rock quote saying "shut your mouth, you jabroni" or whatever it was, and that was hilarious. But I had such secondhand embarrassment. Right, one when he did it, I thought it was cringe. And to be fair, Bengals fans were not about that. They did not like that. They responded being like, "What are you doing? You're embarrassing us." He came out and was like, "Hey, sorry, here are you Bengals Nation or whatever they call themselves." Like, I was just getting excited and ahead of myself. Like, that was just awful.
He made a holiday. He made a national holiday. It was "They Have to Play Us Day." They have to play us day. They just beat us day. Like, that's embarrassing. You can't undo that.
You can't undo that. And you just can't get too far ahead of yourself like that. You could be confident in your team. You could have a day for them. But to the paternity test part was the part where I was like, and the Burrowhead and the whatever it is. Now, look, this was a close game. It's not all of these games between the Chiefs and the Bengals have been decided by 3 points, every single one of them. So it's not like the Chiefs came out there and were like, oh, you know, like we totally beat whatever. They still won. It is what it is. Anyways, my point is Patrick Mahomes will not die. This guy won't die. I mean, we all thought that he was not going to be able to play this game or not be 100%. And he wasn't 100%, but you can't tell me that guy's not the best quarterback in the league. I mean, he just refuses to go down. And the last time they were in the Super Bowl, they were shut out by the Bucks. And I don't know. It just seems like storybook narrative, the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes, everybody doubting him, you know, saying that he's Burrow's son and Burrow, all these things. And it's like, I don't know. You know, my early lean, and look, maybe I'm salty about the Eagles too. Maybe I'm not willing to give them anything quite yet. That could be true too. This is an early lean. This may change. But right now, I like the Chiefs money line.
I feel like this is, I mean, we've said it a number of times. If I've ever called the Eagles imposters or maybe overrated perhaps, like I'll say it again, this will be the hardest team they played all season. And I wonder if this is finally the foil to them. I think Mahomes, you're right. Like, this is Tony Romo was talking about this on the broadcast, that because his ankle was injured and because Burrow had beaten him 3 times, and the narrative is that he's not maybe the best player on the field and he's not expected to just walk through everyone and obviously beat everyone, it gave him a mental edge. It opened up, yes, you know, his freedom almost. Like, oh, now some of the weight is off me, the best player in the world. Cool. Let me go be myself and do my thing. And he threw for 330 yards and, you know, they won the game in a tight one. But I it's hard not to lean.
I feel like the most popular And I felt like one of the most popular prop bets was Mahomes under his passing yards. Nobody thought he was going to, and it was like at like 279 or something. Nobody thought he was going to get over 300. And like you said, he went 330 plus. So on that note, let's talk early leans for Super Bowl MVP. You got Jalen Hurts as the favorite. Makes sense because the Eagles are the favorite. Plus 125, Mahomes plus 130. Kelsey, if it's not going to be a quarterback, plus 850, A.J. Brown, 1,000, Miles Sanders, plus 2,200, and Devonta Smith, 2,500. I'm just going to go out and say, look, I think that the 49ers, oh, what a terrible, sad slip that was.
Wow.
I think that the Chiefs, I know.
That's crushing.
It is. It is. I will rebound. I mean, I sat in silence for a good 2 hours. I didn't even turn on this second game for until after the halftime because I just, you know, everybody who's watching this is a sports fan. You know, when your team loses, it's depressing and the way, whatever. I don't need to talk about this anymore. Let's talk MVP for the Super Bowl. I already think that the Chiefs will win this game and that Patrick Mahomes won't die. So give me Mahomes at plus 130 to be the MVP. I mean, he has just been gutsy.
Yeah, and also, like, this is a quarterback's award, right? It's a quarterback's league. They're the faces. And if you want to actually, you know, make a bet on this that you expect to win, take Jalen Hurts or take Patrick Mahomes. You like the Chiefs, take Mahomes. You like the Eagles, take Hurts. If you want a longer shot after that, I might put, like, a Miles Sanders who could go off in the run game, maybe have 2-3 touchdowns and be the reason they won. I might do a Travis Kelce who could do the same thing on that side for the Chiefs, end up catching the 3 touchdowns that win it for him, right? So I'd either go, you know, one of the quarterbacks on either team or then their second star player behind them. Of course, it could always be the wild defensive player with the clutch interception for plus a million. But that's tough. So maybe a tiny sprinkle on that for fun, but it's a quarterback's award. So I like Mahomes too.
Well, just the narrative of Patrick Mahomes, if he goes out there and wins it, being injured and stuff, the stars are aligned. Stars are aligned for that. Let's take a quick break before we get into Capper's Corner. With Caesars Sportsbook and Casino, every bet earns with Caesars Rewards. That means whether you win or lose, you're always earning towards perks like free stays at iconic Caesars properties, game tickets, dining, and more. And if you haven't started yet, here's a reminder. Your first bet is on Caesars, up to $1,250. Download the app with promo code OMAHAFULL and place your first bet. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get it back as a free bet. Must be 21 or older, offer valid, and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Michigan, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming only. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bet credit $1,250. Must be used within 14 days of receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. No when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas. Affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harris, New Orleans. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania. Affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, 1-800-426-2537, or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW-YORK or text HOPE-NEW-YORK, 467-369.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Time now for Capper's Corner. We welcome back in our guest, Danny Brasco. Let's move on to some NBA bets for tonight. We looked at some key matchups. First up, we're looking at the Lakers, who need to rebound after a tough overtime loss to the Celtics, where there were some questionable calls, and LeBron James had an epic meltdown, although I do feel like it was warranted. And then, of course, you had Pat Bev getting the technical, bringing over the camera to the referee. Spread is 9 right now, favoring the Nets, over under 230. Now, this just so you guys know, we filmed this show about 12 p.m. But we're handicapping this game in the morning. There were not a lot of props out for the slate tonight, so kind of slim pickings. But what are some things that you like about this game?
And I'm glad that you mentioned that, too, just in general with NBA betting, which I do a little bit less than certainly NFL and college basketball, other sports that I bet on heavily. NBA, it's good that you mentioned that because lines swing wildly based on injury update news. Guys have a sore knee 30 minutes before the game and the spread goes down 3, 5, 7 points. So you got to be on top of your injury reports if you're going to bet NBA and get the best line that you can. So I'm glad that you mentioned that. But while we're doing it in the morning here, I guess I'll start by taking Lakers plus 9. And I think it feels like this sort of let the air out of the balloon a little bit after they almost took down the Celtics. The controversial call, LeBron's writhing on the floor, angry he didn't get it. Now he's not playing in this game, and it sort of feels like, oh boy, now they got to take on the Nets, and Kyrie Irving's playing really well, and they're plus 9 dogs. That feels inflated. Brooklyn often has trouble covering these big spreads, and Kevin Durant is still out. Yeah. I know Kyrie's playing well, but you often see when the superstar goes out, like LeBron takes the night off, role players step up. So don't be surprised if they make this a game and even threaten to win. I like the Lakers plus the 9 here.
I do too. And I lean that way as well. And I do think the Nets are going to win this game. They've won, I believe, like 12 of their past 16 home games. So they're pretty dominant at home. But this 9 does feel a little bit inflated, especially because LA's got this chip on their shoulder. I like the under in this one. It's at 230. Both of these teams are coming off of really high scoring games. Of course, we know that Lakers game went into overtime, but they're missing a lot of key players tonight. No LeBron, no AD, no Durant, no Simmons. I kind of feel like both of these teams are going to struggle to generate that much offense. Also, if you look at the trends here, under 13-3 in the Lakers' last 16 road games against the Nets. So that's at Barclays. It's also gone 10-2 in their last 12 games against a team with a winning record. So I feel like given that I agree with you that role players are going to step up. I just don't see us getting that much offense when you take away these key players that are dropping 30 plus a night.
I like that too. And if LeBron's out and they're ticked off about a close loss against the Celtics team, that would have been a really good win and help kind of boost them back up. Exactly. If you're pissed off, we'll play some defense about it.
I agree. Is there any prop bets that you're looking at for this game?
Yes.
And so I will say when we were handicapping this game, only Claxton and Kyrie were available to us. Okay. So hopefully by the time y'all look at this game, there are more.
And that's who we're looking at. I mean, think about the pick and roll, and it's been Kyrie and Nick Claxton. He's a young, front court player for the Nets that's stepping up, especially in the absence of Durant. And he's I like the way he attacks the glass. So I'm going to take him over 11.5 rebounds. He's gone over this number plenty of times this season. And I think he'll be featured, like I said, with Kyrie Irving in the pick and roll all night, maybe grab some offensive rebounds too. He'll be down low grabbing bounds all night. So I think he gets 13, 14 here.
I love that. And I love Claxton on the boards. I'm going to fade him tonight under his points prop. It's 17.5. That was at -111. To your point, he's been balling. He's actually had 3 straight games of double doubles. He's coming off a season high of 27 points, which is 10 more than this, and 13 boards. And he scored at least 20 in 5 straight. However, this feels like a letdown spot for the Nets, which we talked about. The Lakers are likely going to be playing with a chip on their shoulder coming into this game after such a controversial game versus the Celtics. And 17.5 points is actually 4.3 points more than his season average of 13.2. Now, again, he scored over 20 in his last 5 games, but he's only exceeded this mark in 19% of games played this season. I see him very effective on the boards tonight, but I kind of feel like we see him regress a little more to his mean of scoring. So I would take him under the 17.5.
I think you're onto something there. I like that. I make stock market comparisons often for sports betting, right? Sell high. Feels like he's put up 20 plus points in a number of games now. His stock is at his highest price, 17.5. That's a shade high for Nick Claxton, who normally is, like you said, around the 13 area. Sell on that. Play the under. Yeah. I think that's a good play.
All right. So hopefully we cash on both of those. Moving on to the Warriors versus the Thunder. Now, I will say, as a Bay Area fan, and last year when the 49ers lost the NFC Championship game, the Warriors came out and they balled out because the Bay Area needed them. We needed something to be happy about. So we'll see if that happens tonight. We're more than halfway through the season. The Warriors are still trying to gain some traction with a win over OKC, putting them two games over the 500 mark. Steph Curry coming off of one of his better games, 35 points against the Raptors last week since returning from that shoulder injury. Right now, Warriors favored -5, over under 242.5. What do you like it for this game?
So, you know, like I said, I bet more college basketball than NBA. So I go to start digging into this game this morning, doing some research. And lo and behold, the Thunder are 31-17 against the spread. My goodness, that is fantastic. So, you know, they're at home. They're home dogs here. I think they're 16-9 against the spread at home. Like, man, that looks like a good play. But it felt a little bit of an obvious home dog play. So I'm going to stay off the spread. I look at this total, and I'm an underbetter. You see a total like 242. A lot of people think I would jump at an under like that. What a high total. I'm going to do the opposite, actually. Oftentimes I talk about, look how low that total is in a football game. 35, 33. They can't set it low enough. This game might not break 20, and I'll bet the under. I think the same can be said about how high the total is in this one. They can't set it high enough. 242, this game might be like 140 or 135. It might be a straight-up backyard basketball, you know, Rucker Park type game. So I'll take the over, surprisingly, with a total that seems absurdly high. I'll still ride with it.
That's so funny. Okay, well, so we're on opposite ends of this one. So I'm laying off this side as well, but I would lean the Thunder as much as I hate that. And I do think that, again, last year, the Bay Area needed the Warriors, and they responded here. But to your point, the Thunder are just so good against the spread. And I'm sorry, but the Warriors have been really sloppy. They rank second to last in turnovers per game at nearly 17. And their road record, we've been talking about that all season, 6-18. Really, really bad. The Thunder are 15-10 at home straight up this season, but they're more impressively against the spread, 10-1 in the last 11 games versus home teams with road winning percentage, or at home versus teams with road winning percentages of less than 400, which of course we know that the Warriors are. So I would lean Thunder, even though I don't like it. And I like the under in this one. And I think mostly just because it's the trend head to head. It's 22-6 in the last 28 meetings. It's 7-2 in the last meetings in Oklahoma. 242 is an absurdly high mark to me. And so I'm going under on this one. But I like your reasoning and rationale for the over. We'll have to see how this game goes. Any prop bets that you like?
And I will say, your Warriors on the road, 18-5-1 to the over. So they put up buckets in on the road. They're also not like the defensive stalwarts that they often are. Sometimes they have really good Draymond Green and, you know, the front court. They really hold it down back there. Not so much this year. Their defense is a little bit Swiss cheese. So yeah, we'll see how this one goes. Interesting when we're ever on opposite sides. I'll be watching that one. Prop bets for this one? Well, if the total sets so high, and I feel like there's going to be lots of offense, I feel like a lot of people can stuff a stat sheet. So if you're going to play props, maybe look at this game, right? A lot of opportunities for people to get on the board. And someone that's often stuffing a stat sheet for the Thunder is Josh Giddey. But it's more so the rebounds and assists than it is him, you know, putting up crazy numbers in his point totals, right? So I like him to go over 13.5 rebounds and assists. He's a really good facilitator. He attacks the glass. He's just all over the floor. So I think he'll be doing plenty of that tonight with, again, a game total set at 242. There'll be offense for Giddey to facilitate and grab some of those boards and assists. So give me the over 13.5 there.
I like that. And look, I said that the Warriors are inconsistent. The bench is certainly inconsistent. Poole's been inconsistent. You know, Klay Thompson has been inconsistent. But you know who has been pretty consistently scoring is Steph Curry. I'm taking over 27.5 points. He averages 29 points in the last 10 games. He's got over this mark 59% of games played. He had 35 in his last game versus the Raptors. He averages 31 points per game versus the Thunders. That's 3.5 more than this total. I like this game to go under. I don't know that the Warriors are going to win this game, but I feel like old faithful, reliable Steph Curry, he comes to ball. And I think 27.5 is a little low for him tonight. So I'm going to take that over. All right, moving on. Blazers versus Hawks, spread -2, favoring the Blazers here, over under 236.5. NBA TV game tonight. I believe it's on at like 10:10. Very late for us here on the East Coast. But what are you looking at for this game?
This is a tough matchup here between Hawks, Blazers. You know, both these teams extremely inconsistent, like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, trying to predict how they'll be on any given night. And I really don't know which version of either team I'm going to get. So I'm going to stay off the spread there. I'm going to play the under in this one, set at 237, 236 right now, around that total. I'll take the under at either of those numbers. Weirdly, because, you know, you don't expect the Blazers to be a good defensive team, and I'm certainly not going to say that, but they do defend the pick and roll quite well. And Atlanta runs pick and roll so heavy, some of the most in the league behind Trae Young. So I think if that's their best feature in defending the Hawks, maybe they get one of those tough nights from the Hawks again. So, you know, I'll take the under with a pick and roll defense angle there, and hoping that maybe I get some inconsistency from one of these teams to keep the number under.
Yeah, I like the under, and I'm taking that as well, head-to-head under. Also 9-4 in the last 13 meetings between these teams in Portland. But I'm going to take the points with the Hawks on this one. They did just lose to the Clippers, but have been trending upward recently, winning 6 of the last 10, and they're just sitting right at 500. Trae Young, of course, knocked back 31. He's listed as day-to-day, but I have a feeling that he ends up playing tonight. It's game one of a 5-game road trip for Atlanta, so they're really going to want to make a mark on this game, set the tone for the rest. And again, just sitting at 500, so they're going to want to improve on that. They're also 5th in 3-point defense this season, so that does give them a little bit of edge over someone like Dame Lillard, who we know can knock them back. Blazers have just been slumping and slumping hard. They're just 4-6 straight up in their last 10. They're dealing with some trade rumor drama. That always affects the team and how they play as well. They're coming off a really bad loss to the Raptors, 123-105. Dame did put up 37 in that game, but he cannot carry this team all by himself. They're just 2-6 against the spread in their last 8 games following a loss. So I'm going to go ahead and grab those points with the team that just seems to be trending upward rather than the team that's trending downwards. So give me the Hawks +2.
I like the case you've made, and that perfectly segues into why I'm going to take a player prop in the Blazers side, Anfernee Simons over 20.5 points, for the reason that you just said. Dame cannot do it all by himself every night, and he needs a Robin to his Batman. Now, Anfernee Simons' last 2 games, 14-16 points, and I think, similarly, we were talking about sell high on the player prop that you went under on Nick Claxton under points. I'm going to go over because I think we're buying low here. He's had a low total in the last 2 games. He's the second leading scorer behind Lillard. Time to put up some points, man. They need you out here. So give me Anfernee Simons over 20.5 points on a number that feels a little lower than we normally get on him.
I love it.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
All right, let's move on now to Mox Locks. What are the 2 bets, Danny, that you are taking to the window tonight?
So I'm actually going to take Lakers +9 to the window. I love betting on a team when the narrative is against him. The superstar is out. It's an obvious fade for the public. I'll ride with the role players to keep it close tonight and cover the +9.
I love that, and I'm going to ride with you on that one. I'm also going to take the under in that game. Again, so many stars are out, and I do feel like the Lakers have a chip on their shoulder. They're going to D up. I think it's going to be a little bit lower scoring, so give me that under. I also like Curry over the 27.5. We need you, Steph Curry. The Bay Area is hurting. We need you to put some points up on the board over that 27.5. What's your second lock?
I'm going to go to college hoops for the second one. I'm going to take the Texas Tech Red Raiders +1.5. They're at home. They've had a tough season, but their last game, they got a big win over LSU. They come back home to a raucous environment, and I think the building is just going to be bouncing, absolutely rocking, and they get a much-needed win as short home underdogs here. So I'll take the +1.5 if it comes down to the final point, but I think they pick up a big home win here. Give me the Red Raiders.
The Red Raiders. I just like their name. All right. This has been Moxie Bets presented by Caesars Sportsbook. Don't forget to follow us on social @MoxieBets. We'll see you next time.